Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. And as we do every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, good morning. How are you?
Buckle up, gang. We're going for a ride. Let's do this.
Let's do this right now. So, Corey, we were talking about report is the word from Daniel Jeremiah of the NFL Network over the weekend on his Move the Sticks podcast that, according to people around the league, the Tennessee Titans, a team to keep an eye on in terms of moving up to number 3 overall, currently occupied by the Arizona Cardinals. What do you make of that report? And, I mean, logic would tell me that would probably be one of Anthony Richardson or Will Levis that would be available at that time. What do you make of those two prospects?
Well, I mean, that's two reports now because Bucky Brooks, both guys from the NFL Network reporting the same thing. So, is there information coming from the same people? You know, and it's the same report, just two different guys giving it, or is that two separate guys? That's up for you to decide. But, you know, I think with Rand Carthon at the Combine trying to find out how much his players are worth, I think he's trying to find out how much it would cost to move up. Because, look, getting a quarterback this year makes a lot of sense because it's not last year when there weren't any quarterbacks really to go get. There's a few this year. And, you know, look, I don't think that it's a guarantee that it's Stroud or Young. I think that makes the most sense that Stroud and Young went to? I do. But, you know, like when Baker Mayfield went one, not everybody knew that was going to happen, and it did. It only takes one person to fall in love with Anthony Richardson. That's it. And it, you know, upsets the entire apple cart on what happens. So, I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility when you see the raw athleticism. And, at that position, it is a leap of faith. I mean, really, you know, I mean, we see it over and over again. There's no guarantees at that spot. It infuriates me when I see people say, well, this school's got a bad history of quarterbacks. Tell me the school that has a history of quarterbacks who come in the NFL and dominate. Stanford, because they had Elway and Luck? Is it Southern Cal?
Matt Leinart, man.
Yeah, I mean, Brady came out of Michigan. Do they have a big run of NFL quarterbacks that have been superstars? You've got to take players one at a time. I don't care where they go to school. You take players one at a time, and you find out what they've got. You know, all of these guys have ability. Shoot, guys, Zach Mettenberger had ability. He was big. He was tall. He had a big arm. They've all got ability. You just got to be able to sit down and meet them and figure out, do they have the drive? Do they have the passion? Do they have the smarts? Do they have the recognition? Do they have the hair trigger? Do they have the accuracy? And you've got to take that leap of faith because they've all got a lot of these qualities. It's can they do it against the toughest competition? And that is the most difficult thing to figure out, it seems, in all of professional sports. I think the scary thing about, you know, like Levis and Richardson, you know, especially Richardson is the inexperience. But the results, you know, Stroud and Young's results are obviously a heck of a lot better.
Yeah, well, thank you for hitting on one of my all-time pet peeves. I mean, if we're talking about a coach, you know, the same coach system over a period of time, fine. You can talk about quarterback development. But because you have the same jersey from 30 years ago, like what does that have to do with anything? It has nothing to do with anything.
Keith Kuehler went to Tennessee. Don't take Peyton Manning.
Yeah, exactly. You know, back when they ran the wing T, they really struggled to develop NFL quarterbacks. I'm telling you.
Johnny Majors didn't quite work out in the NFL.
Great halfback, though. Yeah, so, well, on the I do feel like, Corey, I agree with you on the results and everything. I'm wary of both of those guys, Richardson and Levis. I also feel like both of them could work out. But do you feel like Josh Allen has changed that calculus a little bit for people just because he was inaccurate? He had bad completion percentage numbers. He looked wildly inaccurate to me early in his NFL career, and he got better.
You know, look, Josh Allen to me is kind of a unicorn because I don't think I've ever seen someone – improve at that position as much as he did from like year two to three. Because I mean, I'm the first to admit I was wrong. I didn't love him coming out. I mean, I loved the size and the arm strength, but I just didn't love him, you know, from an accuracy perspective. And then the first 2 years, I'm like, this guy's a bust. I mean, he can't. I mean, I remember watching him play the Titans when he was a rookie. What was it, the Nick Williams game?
Yes.
He dropped the ball?
Yes.
I mean, he couldn't hit a barn. And, I mean, you know, you could stand three guys in the end zone and he'd miss them all. And I thought he was just going to be a complete bust. And he got it fixed. He got it worked out. And now he's a spectacular player. So I do think he gives people hope. The thing with, like, Anthony Richardson and that 53% completion percentage is it's 1 year. It's 1 year. And so, like, you know, you'd love to see him back at Florida this year to see how much he can make that completion percentage go up, to see the growth there. And how much of it is new system, the players around him, you know, in drops. I know everybody likes to talk about drops, but that's a heck of a lot of drops to get to 60%. So there's a lot that goes into it, but it's still a leap of faith. I mean, that's all there is to it. There are very few Andrew Lucks in the world where you look at a guy and you're like, yeah, I'm like 99% sure this one's going to work out.
Corey Curtis from News 2 with us here on Robbie and Rexro. Corey, what do you make of the Predators and the opportunity in front of them? They got a big week this week, lots of tough games. Obviously, we know what they've done with the roster, both with the trade deadline and the just incredible amount of injuries that they've sustained as of late, and yet they've given themselves at least a puncher's chance heading into the final couple of weeks here. What do you make of what you've seen from this young group of the Predators?
Well, I think what it tells me, number one, is that David Poile absolutely, without question, made the right decision, because unquestionably the results have not changed at all from the point where they dealt those guys to where they are now. I mean, they're pretty much kind of on the same pace, if not a little bit better. And so, you know, they've traded away a lot of salary and a lot of age, gotten younger, gotten cheaper, and, you know, and now you've got upside. So I think, you know, that's exciting to me. And it's exciting to get these young kids playing in stressful games, you know, because you get to learn more about them, you know, seeing how they react to meaningful games. I love watching Luke Evangelista play. I'm going to say it on every show that I do.
Oh, yeah.
His ability to hold the puck on his stick and not panic. I mean, when he's on the ice with this puck on his stick, it's like he owns it. I mean, and he's just like, I'm going to hold this thing as long as I want. I'll get rid of it when I'm darn good and ready. I think he is going to be a fantastic player for the Preds, you know, for a long time. So even if the Preds don't make the playoffs, I think with what they've done with the roster, it still makes this season a lot more exciting, you know, because I don't, you know, look, even if they make the playoffs, does anybody think they're getting out of round one? No. But, you know, the fact that they're still battling, still giving themselves a chance, and it gives you a glimpse of the future and some hope for the future, you know, and it, again, putting them in this scenario helps you separate those guys some as you look at these young guys and saying, all right, when the pressure's on, you know, this guy really responded for us. And I think that's valuable information for this franchise.
So, Corey, I got to, you know, see if we're bouncing around. Any strong takes from the basketball weekend, men's or women's, trash talk, officiating?
Oh, yeah.
Buzzer beaters?
You know, number one, love the growth of the women's game, that it could generate as much buzz, arguably more buzz than the men's this weekend. I mean, did we ever
think I think definitely that? More buzz.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's fantastic. It's fantastic because it gives us as consumers more options, more to talk about. It gives more people a chance to excel as athletes in the spotlight. I love one of the things that we're talking about is how much money these young ladies can make by staying in school.
Yep.
You know, can she stay in school and make more than she would in the WNBA? I think that is a result of NIL that not everyone necessarily saw. That is, I think, fantastic. And the level of play. You know, the level of play was unbelievable. As for the sportsmanship issue, you know, I was talking to Jared about this on the phone, and, you know, we were talking about two wrongs don't make a right, and I agree with that. But, you know, Keith Bullock said it this morning on Twitter, if you're going to dish it out, you better be ready to get it back. And you can't tell me that Caitlin Clark wouldn't have been dishing it out had Iowa won the championship. I think it's much to do about nothing. I think it's sour grapes for a lot of people who wanted to see her win the trophy because she's a phenomenal player. The best team won. That's all there was to it. And, you know, she, like I said, she dished it out during the tournament. She came up short, and she caught it in the end.
Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. Corey, thanks as always for being with us, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, my apologies to Glennon. I understand he's coming up at 8:30.
Yes,
and will obviously be a bitter disappointment compared to these 12
yes.
minutes.
No yeah, question. He should be your opening act.
He
really
should.
You know,
no question about it. I tried to see if he could do 7:30, but Glennon's got to sleep in a little later.
Do a quick set, and then we'll get to 2.5 hours of Corey.
That's right.
He's one of the few people in town who's older than me and still alive.
Thank you, Corey. We appreciate you.
Later.
Corey Curtis from News 2. Legendary, 12 to 13 minutes every Monday morning at 8 o'clock here on the program. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Join 1025, The Game, for the second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament, benefiting Souls for Souls, coming up on June the 7th at Hermitage Golf Course. You can put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebs to support a great cause and have loads of fun. Plus, you'll have the chance to win awesome prizes. You can sign up to play, sponsor, or donate at thegamenashville.com/golf. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Thanks to Corey Curtis for being with us in the last segment. We will have John Glennon from NHL.com coming up at 8:30. So looking forward to that conversation with him. Joe, we've discussed the women's tournament and everything that has happened in the aftermath of that. The men's national championship is tonight. UConn taking on San Diego State. San Diego State takes down my beloved FAU Owls at a buzzer beater on Saturday night to win 72-71. And then UConn continues its run of dominance. They take down Miami 72-59, the final score on Saturday. So UConn, a 7.5-point favorite heading into this game, according to the FanDuel Sportsbook, and UConn has been dominant so far in the tournament. What do you make of the matchup tonight in the national title game, and how equipped is San Diego State, in your mind, to hang in there with UConn and have a chance to win?
Well, they're very good defensively. They have a lot of length. They protect the rim. They are in the gaps. They communicate when they play at their highest level. We saw what they did against Alabama. I mean, they, for a lot of that game, completely clamped down in Alabama. Then Alabama got hot, went up big on them, and they somehow came back and still won that game. So that's the team a lot of people thought was going to win this whole thing. And if San Diego State can play at that level against Alabama, could they rise up and play that level tonight? I don't think they've played to that level other than that night, but that's what it's going to take. UConn just looks like clearly the best team right now. You know, UConn against an Alabama playing at its best or something like that might be, you know, more appealing. But look, San Diego State has demonstrated that level of play. So they're going to have to really bring it. UConn is just like everything's working for them. They have everything you need for a team. They play together as a team. They have pros. They have shooting. They have rim protection. They have a point guard who's really excellent. And so right now, I would go with UConn and give the points. But hopefully we'll get a better game than that.
Well, you brought this up last week, and it is really interesting to watch. Like, from their perspective, UConn, like I remember in my childhood and the later part of my youth growing up, UConn was always in there. I mean, the Okafors of the world, and then you had the run that Kemba Walker and UConn went on. But it does kind of feel like they are a – once they're in, and they are a title contender, and then they'll go through this stretch of play where they're just not all that good, and maybe not even a tournament team for a few years in a row. And here they are yet again. They found their way back into the tournament and are playing in the national title with a chance to win. What was the stat you threw out there, Michelle? Their fifth national title in 25 years?
5 in 25, which is very hard to do, and it's kind of like that upper echelon tier of programs. I don't know off the top of my head who's done it. I think maybe Duke, Kentucky, UCLA.
I mean, how many titles did K win?
Eight, nine?
No. Oh, no.
I think it was five, wasn't it?
Maybe he won six. Maybe. Maybe he won six. But even that was over a lot longer time, period of time than that, right? He won five. Yeah.
Whoa, I was way off.
Yeah, I mean, like, no. It's
from 1980 to 2022. Five.
So there you go. Five and 42
40
years.
40 years.
Yeah. So it's wild.
And
I mean,
different coaches.
Right. I mean, Kevin Ollie's. I mean, again, it's so weird because I've had a front row seat for some of these things, including 2014, Shabazz Napier. Like, they were a seven seed. They were okay.
Don't bring up 2014.
That was Kentucky. Oh, yeah. Michigan State, I thought was going to win it all. They're in the Elite Eight in the Garden. Shabazz Napier just takes over the second half. Then, yeah, they beat – what'd they beat? They beat Kentucky, and then did they beat Florida?
They beat Kentucky in the title game for
title
sure.
Title game.
Who'd they beat in the Final Four? Either way, like, every single win by that team was like, really? And, you know, Shabazz Napier, I mean, I remember LeBron's like, I need him on my team. It's like, yeah, he's not really a pro.
Yeah, I
but
remember
okay.
that, too, as a Heat fan, and then they took him, and then LeBron left. That was awesome.
And it's, you know, like, he was just like a guard who went nuts. That's Kevin Ollie. Kevin Ollie coaching that team. All right, win it all, sure. And obviously Jim Calhoun had a ton of success. But he, the program under Jim Calhoun had this, you know, ups and downs. They were not a consistent, you know, even like they had team years where they missed a tournament and things like that. But for whatever reason, when Connecticut gets there, they freaking win it.
It's really weird.
Yeah.
I mean, look, good for them. I mean, it's a testament to them. But they just, when you think of blue bloods, like UConn doesn't necessarily come to mind because, I mean, they don't really have the consistency that a Duke or North Carolina or a Kentucky or teams like that have where they're just in there in the conversation year in, year out. But you're right. Once they're in there, they just go and win the whole thing, and it looks like they're on a path to do that again tonight.
They won in 14.
And 11.
And they missed five of the next six tournaments.
Exactly.
Like, what?
Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, right. And then but right before that, they won in 11, you know? And yeah, you go back to the 03-04. I will say, although I think maybe their best team, that's what's funny. If you're a UConn fan, you would also say that the best team you had may have been the 06 or 05 06 team, absolutely loaded, and that lost to George Mason in the Elite Eight. But,
oh, yeah.
But, yeah.
That was Larinaga's team, right? Jim Larinaga?
It was Larinaga's team, yes.
Naga.
Yes. Which also beat Michigan State that year. But the first Final Four I ever covered was UConn, Duke, 99, Tampa. And Duke, that was supposed to be Duke's possibly best team ever. And UConn comes in with, you know, Rip Hamilton, great player. Khalid El-Amin, great college point guard, undersized. I mean, he was a fun guy to watch. But, like, no one thought they were going to touch Duke in that game. They just kicked their butt. It's kicked Duke's butt in the national title game. And it was like, really? And that was like Krzyzewski's, like Elton Brand, Trajan Langdon, William Avery, Corey Maggette, possibly, I mean, one of his best teams. And you kind of just beat him in the title game.
Yeah.
I mean, they were 34-2.
Well,
that year,
I'll never forget in what was it the final year of the Big East tournament? I can't remember when the final year was.
Oh,
but
with
Kemba went
with
nuts.
Kemba.
Oh, my gosh. It was unbelievable to watch that take place.
Incredible.
And then they just carried it through right through the entire tournament. And he was unstoppable.
Yeah. It's pretty wild. But I feel like they are – I mean, I think Danny Hurley is obviously a really good coach. And so I think they're going to win it, but it would be great to have a good game tonight. And, you know, Brian Dutcher and San Diego State, they do have this magical thing going on right now. Remember – they might have won it all 3 years ago, the COVID canceled tournament when they were 30-2 going in.
Yeah, look, I mean, they've done a really good job in this tournament, obviously. You got to see them up close and personal in the first round down there in Orlando and the way that they played then. And you came out of that weekend talking about, you know, how good they were defensively, and they're going to have to be tonight as they take on UConn.
But you actually picked them to beat Alabama, so.
I did. I did pick them to beat Alabama. I did not pick them to beat FAU, though. My beloved Owls taken down.
I mean, FAU should have won that game.
I know.
FAU
they were in control.
They were just better, really, most of the night. That's a really good basketball team.
And here they are. San Diego State gets the buzzer beater, and they'll take on UConn tonight in the national title. Like, as I'm having this conversation in my head, like, in terms of the combination of men's and women's program, like UConn's got to be number one, right? Like, is there anybody that's really even close?
Yeah. Who else would be? Who else? Yeah, there's really right now. There's
Baylor, but only as of recent.
There have been stretches where, like, Ohio State was really good with both, you know?
Virginia?
Their women's program isn't.
No.
Indiana. But, yeah, no, I don't think it's. I mean, I think right now for sure.
Just Don Staley at Virginia.
But, again, yeah, and that's going, yeah, that's going way back. But again, what'll happen is UConn will stay good in women's, and then, like, you know, the UConn men's hoops will miss the tournament for a few years and just come back and win it all.
Come back and win the national championship. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by John Glennon from NHL.com. We'll get his thoughts on the Predators, the big week they've got starting tonight as the Predators take on the Dallas Stars on the road. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. Preds in action tonight on the road, taking on the Dallas Stars. Big week coming up for the Nashville Predators. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend John Glennon, who covers the Predators for NHL.com. John, good morning. How are you?
I am well. How are you guys?
We are doing super. Great. Now, John, we've talked about the game the other day. Obviously, a big win for the Predators. 6-1, they take down St. Louis. Perhaps the story of the game, and you and I were standing next to each other in the locker room after this took place, when referring to the power play, Luke Evangelista referred to the power play as, quote, the peeper, and I've not been able to get over it since Saturday's media scrum, and I know it affected you as well.
It has. It was kind of a big, maybe a monumental event of this season, I would have to say. You know, I've been covering hockey games in Nashville and elsewhere for quite some time. And in all those years, I have to admit that I have never once heard the term peeper used to refer to the power play. On the bright side, a couple bright sides about that. The peeper did awake from a deep sleeper in that game, scored a couple goals. Thank you so much. And you know, so that was a step certainly in the right direction. And on the other, another selling point of peeper is we don't have to listen to grown men talking about improving their PP, during the season as well. So from that aspect, I also like peeper.
Ah, just beautiful stuff laid out there by John Glennon. And I refuse to call the power play anything else other than the peeper from this point forward. So we'll see. Thank you to Luke Evangelista for changing our vernacular on that front. In all seriousness, what did you make of the Predators, their win against St. Louis, and the performance of two young guys in particular, Novak and Evangelista, who continue to be very impressive?
They really do. And you know, I think it's said a lot. You know, we've talked a lot about this young group. So many players gone, whether it's through trade, whether it's through injuries. But these young guys are battling. They're tough. They're resilient. And every time you want to say, okay, that's probably the one that does it for the Predators. You know, they really can't keep going with this group, stay competitive in the playoff race. They bounce back, you know, with a game like that. And you know, who would have thought at this point in the year, certainly the Preds would be staying afloat in the postseason race with guys like Luke Evangelista, Tommy Novak, you know, Cody Glass, et cetera, et cetera. You know, you look at this team's top six forwards right now, five of the top six started the year in Milwaukee, or at least played, you know, a good chunk of the year in Milwaukee. The sixth out of that group is Cody Glass, and he was considered on the bubble, you know, going into training camp and really into the season as well. So pretty impressive effort, certainly against the Blues. You know, it's going to be a very, very difficult path for the Predators here down the stretch. But just to be where they are right now, I think really reflects well on how this team has stayed afloat.
Of those young guys, John, I think we'd all agree that Luke Evangelista is a fast riser and it's kind of been a pretty consistent thing with him, right? I mean, he's impressed every chance he's gotten. He's very young. I think his destiny is he's going to be a key forward for this franchise for a long time to come. But Tommy Novak, different kind of situation, about to turn 26, third round pick, what, 8 years ago? And, you know, so, sort of like, okay, nice young player, maybe can help out here and there. But obviously he's been a lot more than that this year. Do you feel like we're seeing just sort of, you know, maybe a hot year for a player who doesn't quite, you know, rise to that level long term? Or do you think that maybe he's making a case to be a top six guy for this team moving forward?
I think he's making a pretty good case for himself. You know, this is not a five game, hey, look what I did when I got called up, you know, and I had a lot of adrenaline going. This is not a 10 game deal. This is, you know, we're talking about half a season right now that he's been up. 43 games. He got 38 points in 43 games, you know, 15 goals, 23 assists. So, you know, every time you wanted to say, okay, that's a little bit of a fluke, I'm sure he's going to come back down to earth. That hasn't happened this season with Tommy Novak. You know, and you see definitive changes in his game, too. You know, the word that John Hines has used, you know, fairly regularly with Tommy Novak is a little bit of swag. And, you know, I kind of asked him the other day, I said, you know, sort of how do you define that swag for Tommy Novak? And I think a lot of it is kind of poise with the puck, you know, and you can see that. He's not rattled at all. He takes his time, you know, whether he's passing, whether he's shooting. And he's become a pretty impressive sniper as well. His ability to pick corners has really been noticeable, I think, the last several weeks here. So I really think he's made a strong case, you know, to be a big part of the top six moving forward.
John, speaking of the top six moving forward, what do you think Cody Glass is? I mean, we know where he was drafted, and we know, like you said, he was on the bubble this year heading into camp, and he's been given a ton of responsibility. He's scoring goals left and right lately, particularly in front of the net, which I think is a good sign. But as you forecast what he could be for this team moves forward, what do you think that is?
It's an interesting question, Robbie, because I don't know if he's you know, definitively solidified himself as a top six guy at this point, and really that's kind of what he needs to be. You know, at this particular time, is he a top six guy? Certainly. You know, with the Predators, you know, as we mentioned, so many trades, so many injuries, you know, and he's playing a key role. I want to say he's scored, what, three goals in the last four games. And you look at his points per game with Nashville under John Hines, it's improved from what it's been, you know, with Vegas as well. So I think, you know, he's certainly shown enough to give himself a chance at competing at a top six forward spot, you know, when everyone is healthy. But I wonder if, you know, eventually it becomes maybe a top nine type situation for Cody Glass. But I do like the upside. I think he is one of these guys that is a little bit of a late mature, a late bloomer, a guy who seems to be getting more confidence as his career goes on. So he's got a shot moving forward. I don't think, you know, when you look at, like, say, Novak's numbers, you say, wow, I don't think there's any doubt that he's in the mix for top six. Cody Glass, I think there's still a little bit of question there, but certainly we're seeing some upside that, you know, maybe his first team, Vegas, didn't find in him.
So, John, as you look at the path ahead here, this team has, you know, huge games potentially huge games at Winnipeg, at Calgary. What must be done in the three games before Winnipeg for them to still be valid, you know, to still be in it? Do you feel like they got to get 2 points, 4 points? What do you think they need to get done here this week?
You know, the more I look at the schedule ahead, it is daunting. You know, it is a very, very challenging task when you look at what the Preds have upcoming, you know, and what they need to do to potentially secure playoff berth. You look at the Preds' seven remaining games, every single one of those teams is above them in the standings right now. You know, and it's going to start tonight in Dallas, then a home game Tuesday and Thursday against Vegas and Carolina. Those are some pretty, pretty difficult tests. I'd say at least 4 points, however, is necessary, because let's say you look at it right now, you know, they're down by five to the Jets, right? 5 points behind the Jets for that last playoff berth. Well, if you say Winnipeg goes 3-2 over those last five games, right, that gives the Jets 95 points. Here you got the Preds sitting at 84 right now. They've got seven games left. You're going to say the Preds need 96 If the Jets go 3-2, the Preds need 96 points to top the Jets for that last playoff spot. That means they probably have to go 6-1 in those last seven games, and they're going to be an underdog in probably every single one of those games. So odds are stacked against the Preds right now, but, you know, hey, they've kept it entertaining. They've stayed afloat, and who knows what we'll see over the last couple weeks.
John, what do you think the future looks like for Ryan McDonough? We've talked about him a lot, and obviously the Predators have sold off a lot of their veteran players, and he's a guy that's done a whole lot of winning before. He's got a hefty contract that comes along with him as well. And Barry Trotz talked about, you know, basically how much he loves Ryan McDonough when he was announced as general manager coming up here a few weeks ago. What do you make of what the future looks like for Ryan McDonough here in Nashville and the role that he's played kind of helping these young guys come along to this point?
Yeah, you know, I think certainly we speculated that maybe, you know, Ryan McDonough might be one of those guys at the trade deadline if someone wanted to pick up, you know, the remainder of a pretty hefty contract that might be gone. And I think the same situation moving forward, you know, there's certainly the possibility that as the Preds continue to try to sort of rebuild and go younger, that maybe McDonough, you know, becomes attractive to teams looking for a veteran. But, you know, you can't go with a complete, you know, kind of kindergarten class for a team either moving forward. And I think Ryan McDonough has been, you know, kind of a tremendous, you know, sort of settling presence on this team. You know, I think the leadership that was sort of touted when he came here was not hyped at all. I think he's been an excellent leader. And if you can keep a guy like him while you're still funneling some of these younger guys in, you know, you need some guys that have been through the wars before, you know, to kind of sort of set the temperature of the room and so forth, to keep guys in check, you know, and you know, kind of keep that culture in line as well. So, I think it would benefit the Preds to keep Ryan McDonough around moving forward.
Okay, let's talk about another Ryan. We were talking about this earlier. Because, yeah, a lot of possibilities to play down the middle, young guys for this team next year. What do you think about the idea of buying out Ryan Johansson?
Not completely out of the question. You know, I mean, I think, you know, and again, I was looking back, you know, a few weeks ago as well, you know, on kind of one of the more interesting quotes I think that John Hines has had this season, you know, and it came about as the Predators really were having a pretty good stretch, just when a lot of these veterans were, you know, were either getting traded or getting injured as well. And John Hines had a pretty telling quote. This was about 3 weeks ago, and you know, when he talked about sort of the identity of the team, you know, with the younger players in, he said, you know, we're competitive every night. You're not asking or begging for effort and competitiveness that's not naturally or you know, that's naturally there. You know, and to me, you know, he was talking more about the younger guys coming up, but I think John Hines was also talking about that group of players, Johansson included, you know, that he – I think he had a trouble motivating at times. So, you know, I wonder as you're – turning over the team, and as you're trying to change the culture, maybe that's that is, you know, a possibility. Maybe he's a guy that you know, you say, okay, he's done great things over the years, but you know, we're looking for a culture change in the locker room. So not completely out of the question, but again, you're also looking for some vets to stick around, you know, to kind of guide the younger guys. But that's an awfully big contract to be a guy that's you know, there to sort of mentor younger players.
John Glennon from NHL.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Row. John, great stuff as always. We'll see if the Predators can keep the peeper rolling tonight, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, sounds good. Thanks.
All right, John Glennon with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. Speaking of the Preds, it is time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. Be the first caller, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. If you guess a goal score for the Predators tonight, you want a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. It is that time of the day. Time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. The Preds in action tonight, taking on the Dallas Stars on the road. So tonight on the road against Dallas, tomorrow at home against Vegas. The standings and Preds Pick to Click, which is brought to you by TJ Anderson, Homes of Benchmark Realty and Super Big Sports, are as follows. I'm still in first with 16 correct answers, the listeners with 14, Joe with 11, and Michelle with 7. The last time we picked was a shutout, so nobody scored. So,
I totally should.
Joe almost
I was flirting with it. I should have done it, man.
So we'll see what happens this time around. With that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Brian, who is today's participant. Brian, thanks for calling in. Who is your pick to click for the Nashville Predators?
Hopefully, Tommy Novak will light the lamp tonight.
So there we go. Novak the selection. Brian, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it. So Novak off the board. Joe Rexroad, you're up first. Novak off the board. You're pick to click for the Nashville Predators.
I thought for a minute he wasn't answering, and it was just going to be how he was going to say no
shut
one,
out.
Nothing. It's like if a tree falls in the forest, anybody hear it? God, I almost want to say that too. Do I go there?
That's up to you.
Is it Preds getting shut out in Dallas tonight? Dallas playing for a whole lot.
They are. That's up to you.
You should do it.
I'll go Luke Evangelista.
You're going to use one of your first, the one time you get the first pick to just go nobody? Is that what you're going to do?
I know.
So Evangelista, the selection. Novak, Evangelista, two of the players that were on fire. Last time out for the Predators off the board. Michelle Knezvik, you're up next. You're pick to click for the Nashville Predators.
Well, I was urging Joe to pick a shutout so then I could pick Luke Evangelista. But now that he's off the board, I will pick... Cody Glass. Cody Glass tonight.
The selection. So Novak, Evangelista, and Glass are off the board.
Pick an old player. Are there any playing? Pick someone old.
I will go Yakov Trenin.
I guess he's middle aged now on this
Give
team.
Me Yakov Trenin. He scored last time out on a horrendous giveaway by Colton Parayko of the Blues. One of the worst I've ever seen. But Trenin finished it off the other day, and I think he scores again tonight. So give me Trenin. Novak, Evangelista, Cody Glass, and Yakov Trenin. The selections and Preds Pick to Click. Presented by TJ Anderson, Homes of Benchmark Realty, and Superbook Sports. And Joe, as you said, big one for the Preds tonight on the road against Dallas. They are 5 points behind Winnipeg. They've got two games in hand. 3 points behind Calgary with two games in hand, and they play Winnipeg later this week on Saturday and Calgary early next week. So a potential for those games to be big if the Predators can hang in there this week against Dallas, Vegas, and then Carolina at home on Thursday, too. It's a tough stretch.
To me, if you get 2 points, those games still matter. I mean, you want more, you know. You'd like to get 3 or 4 points out of these three games. And if you do that, pretty good position, actually. I mean, again, good position relative to you're still going on the road to Winnipeg, then you're going on the road to Calgary, but I think if you get 2 points, like those games, I mean, if you were to win both of them, you're in this thing all the way to the end.
Well, yeah, and I'm interested to see how they deploy the goaltending. Like, you've got Vegas at home tomorrow. I assume Lankinen's getting one of them. Like, I understand the temptation to be like, we're just going Saros the whole way. I think they'd probably be better served to give Lankinen one of them and give Saros that break. So is that tonight or is that tomorrow? I mean, I could make the case either way. My gut tells me they'll probably go Saros tonight, Lankinen tomorrow, but they could go the opposite way. I don't know.
Yeah, I think I would keep my options open on all Saros, so I would go with him tonight. And you said it earlier, hey, maybe the Stars will just sort of take a night off and, you know, he'll see 11 shots on goal. And
maybe.
You know what? Bring him right back out.
Do it again.
But
you should get out there.
Yeah, I think I'd go there. I'd go with Saros until I'm feeling like, okay, you got to go to Lincoln. And Lincoln has been good this year, but he's not Saros. And you need every stop you can have right now.
Well, he's playing at an unbelievably high level right now, too. So we'll see if he can keep that up tonight against Dallas. Make sure you don't miss Wednesday night Smashville Live show at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs starting at 6 o'clock. You can see your Pred star players up close and personal. Plus, have your chance to get autographs and pictures as well. Smashville Live brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Little Harpeth Beer, Superbook Sports, and Dulce Vita, Tequila Pure and Simple. So the Preds in action tonight, taking on the Stars, and then back at home tomorrow against Vegas. Joe, we talked about this earlier, some buzz around there. Daniel Jeremiah reporting that a team to keep an eye on moving up to number three overall could be the Tennessee Titans. We are officially in April, so the month of the draft is here. I feel much better discussing it now that we're in the month of April.
Yeah, I mean, I think we can do like a different mock draft every day now, right?
Well,
and feel just fine about
it. How many have you done so far?
I actually haven't done anything. I'm going to have to do one this week, so I guess I'll do it.
So we're not getting four this year?
I mean, I guess I could do one every week. I don't want to.
I just keep trying to get you to do four.
I don't know.
See how much work I can create for you is really my goal.
Well, I mean, I don't have any other better ideas. I guess I'll do some mock drafts. But, yeah, look, the Titans moving up. I don't know. I don't know where that's coming from. There's a lot of stuff that flies around this time of year.
There is.
And it's kind of take it all for what it is. But it's not the craziest idea. If the Titans believe that they have their quarterback identified and they have a chance to go get him, and if they believe they have their quarterback identified and they believe the Colts have the same quarterback identified and they can move in front of the Colts to go get that quarterback, I get it.
Well, that's the other thing. So I am convinced somebody's moving up to number three, and Arizona's not picking there.
Yes.
So who's it going to be? Like, well, and like if you're the Colts, is it like it's going to be us? We're moving up to number three, so somebody doesn't jump in front of us. I mean, I think that's probably on the table as well for Indianapolis. But man, if you're the Titans and you love Anthony Richardson, and I guess we should leave the possibility open, as Corey Curtis said, it's not a foregone conclusion that Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud are going 1-2 in some order. I think that's by far the most likely option. But who knows? Maybe Houston just loves Anthony Richardson, and that's who they take.
Yeah, and seriously, it's possible. There have been more shocking developments around draft night. So I think it's those two. I think it's going to be Carolina picking Stroud, I think. And then I would assume then Bryson, who knows? I mean, at that point, too, that could be Richardson to Houston.
I could see your plan still coming together. Instead of having to move up to number one, the Titans move in there at number three, and Bryce Young lands here in Tennessee.
Richardson and Stroud, and then, oh, my gosh. If the Titans got that lucky.
Then you don't have to trade Jeffrey Simmons to go get him.
I mean, what do you trade? You're still moving up to three.
I know.
Do you have to trade Jeffrey Simmons to get there? You might.
But you do it. We know that.
I know. I would. I mean, I understand that, like, Jeffrey Simmons is much bigger than Bryce Young.
Yes, he is.
People think Bryce Young is like a toddler with a little beanie hat. I mean, my God, he's still a
grown man,
grown human
in the NFL
who has, you know, some muscle mass to him, you know, has taken some hits in the SEC, like many, many hits in the SEC.
Oh, man. Tune in for National Sounds Baseball tomorrow night at 6:45 on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds have their first road series against the Memphis Redbirds, AAA affiliate of the St. Louis Cardinals. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza and Family Leisure. That does it for us today on Robbie and Rex Road. Chase and Michelle up next. This is 102.5, 106.3 The Game.